How beautiful is the body of Christ, His own body, and today we are His body. And we bring the good news of the gospel. Perhaps some of you recognize the song from Matthew and Penny's wedding. Thank you, Lord, that we are the body of Christ. We have been called by your name. We have been filled by your Spirit. We are here, Lord, to keep the peace. For you defeated the enemy and left us as a standing army to keep the peace, to enforce the peace. We thank you, Lord, that the body of Christ is beautiful and we are growing up to be that glorious church. For your word has said that the glory of the latter house shall be far greater than the glory of the former. And we are that latter house. We are that temple of God. We are the body of Christ, and we are growing up to be part of the church without spot or wrinkle, part of the glorious church. How beautiful is the body of Christ, for God has entrusted us with the good news of the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And we move from wherever we are today to wherever we're going to be when the Lord returns. To a rocket ship that we've been calling faith. Or more technically, true faith, which we've been calling a rocket ship. So we have been working on a series, which started on Sunday. We did part one and part two, faith as a rocket, some months ago. And then last Friday, we did part three. And today we end the series with part four, faith as a rocket. Just as a rocket ship in the natural takes a person from point A to point B, just so your faith and my faith will take us from wherever we are to wherever we want to go. It takes us from living in a place where we're not experiencing one or more of the promises of God into that place where we are walking in the blessing of that promise. That wherever we target our rocket ship to go, our faith will take us there into the manifested blessing of the promises. For Jesus Christ died that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And everything you and I need for life and godliness, today and every day, has already been paid for. And the vehicle for manifesting that in our lives is our faith. Our faith is that rocket ship. For with God, nothing is impossible. And you and God, we can do anything. But we do it through the rocket ship called faith. And that rocket ship is powered by love. For our faith works by love. And love is keeping God's commandments. That as we keep His commandments, we show Him that we love Him. And so we fuel our rocket ship with love. And our desire is to move to that point where Christ dwells fully in our hearts. Where we so walk in the love of God and the love of our neighbor and the love of ourselves. That we are filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. We want to be filled with the fullness of God, where the Spirit of God is not restricted to living in our spirit, separated from the rest of our carnal, sinful being by our hearts, by the veil of our heart. But rather, that our heart has been so sold out to God that Jesus came and healed our broken heart. That our heart is filled with love, and the Spirit of God lives in our heart and flows from our heart. The words we speak are God's words, and the words we speak are Spirit-anointed words. So that our souls totally belong to God. For our tongue, speaking God's word, sets our souls free. And as our souls get set free, so does our health, our body, and our finances. Pastor Matthew, in his mini teaching tonight, was pointing out that in Romans 8:11, which says the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal flesh. And he's pointing out, it doesn't say that Holy Spirit is in us, but dwells in us. Dwell means to abide in, to take up residence, to make it his home. See, when the Holy Spirit is confined to our spirit, because we've put up the veil of our heart, because there's so much in our heart that's not godly and is restricted to our spirit, then the Holy Spirit is in us, but He's not dwelling in us. When he dwells in us, he inhabits every cell, every organ, every system. The life is in the blood, and the life of God floods our entire system. So God wants to flood every cell, every part of your being, every fiber, with the Spirit of the living God. For your faith, that rocket ship moves by love, and he wants us to be totally saturated in love. So once we decide we're going to go from point A to point B, which doesn't have to be three-dimensional, because God can do anything. You know, we can go anywhere God wants us to go. God says, I want you to go to Tibet and minister to a man for half an hour and come back. We can just go to Tibet and minister to a man for half an hour and come back. Once, about 20 years ago, the Lord took me to some place in Eastern Europe, and I went there. There was a man and a woman, and they were really arguing. And I stood behind the man and put my hands on him and prayed for him. He never saw me. I prayed for a while, and then I just came back. It was a wonderful experience. Didn't need any passports. See, I would like more of those. I would like that to be an ongoing daily thing, and not something that I point back to 20 years ago, because I want to be flooded with the life of God. How about you? And so, as we launch our rocket of faith, we have to remove all the obstacles that would hold it back. As we prepare to pray and to launch that rocket of faith, we should remove the obstacles first. And the obstacles are unforgiveness, fear, doubt, unbelief, impatience. These are all things that tend to hold your rocket down. Cleanse them off, pray, launch your rocket, power it with love, and it will take you into places and the situations you never dreamt of. And I'm looking forward to that when God does that more and more of that with me. Amen? Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to close out with part 4, faith as a rocket. Booster rockets. Now, you all know what a booster shot is, right? That people go and they get an injection for something. They get immunized for something. Once upon a time, it was polio. I once got a polio shot. I think dinosaurs were still roaming the earth, and you had to go back and get booster shot like every 3 months for a year or something, right? So that's what a booster shot is. It gives you an additional push. Well, rockets are the same way, and maybe you've seen them in real life or on television or something, where the rocket is there, and there's a huge engine, a rocket with a huge engine, and then it's got maybe smaller engines around it, or maybe just one. And then as it blasts off all the engines, well, not all the engines, some of the engines blast off, and the booster rockets blast off with it to give it the additional push to get free from gravity and to go up, to pull away from the inertia and go up. That booster rocket will help it go up to a point, and then when it gets to a certain point and it's used up its energy, it's jettisoned and it falls away. And it keeps going. And then maybe a second multi-stage, another booster rocket that does it. Or they may need some intricate maneuvers, and a third rocket may provide a power for that also. So booster rockets serve valuable function in terms of breaking free from things, in terms of starting up, and in terms of speeding up. It's the same way we need booster. We've prayed our prayer, and we've launched our faith as a rocket. It's going to take us from wherever we are to wherever we want to go. But you know, sometimes we just sit back and we just come out with these words and we pray them, and it's just not a lot of oomph to it. Well, the best time to have an oomph is when you first pray. Because when you first pray and you believe you receive, that's when you should celebrate. If you celebrate when you believe you receive, when the actual manifestation comes, you're so used to it, you may not even get excited about it. You really need to be there. You know, you really need to be there. You really need to be the point where you're so excited by the prayer and the belief that you receive, that when the physical manifestation comes, it's no big deal, because you've known all along that you had already received it and the manifestation was going to show up. When you have that attitude, after a while, you don't even think about the manifestation, because as far as you're concerned, it's a done deal. And if you don't think about it and you're convinced it's done, Satan has hardly anything to work with in terms of playing tricks on your mind about doubt and unbelief and canceling your prayers, because it's done. In your heart, it's done. And your mind is done. You don't even think about it. And then one day it shows up. I say, oh yeah, there it is. That's how we want to live. It's like the rapture. I think about the rapture every single day. much time of every day I think about the rapture. I'm going to go up in my rocket to meet the Lord in the air. Amen? What's going to blast you up there? It's got to be your rocket. It's got to be your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So why do people think they can be raptured without faith? Why do they think it's part of their birthright and it's just going to take them up? Just because they made a movie and made a lot of money making the movie, just because the series had, what, 4 or 5 copies of the book on the New York Times bestseller list at the same time, doesn't make it correct. We're going up in a rocket ark, yes. Okay, a rocket ark. Yeah, an ark. See, everything moves on. Noah had this old clunky wooden ark. We've got a turbojet rocket ark, right? Now, our ark is made out of anointing. It's an ark of anointing. We build it with faith. And we launch it as a rocket with faith. And we're going to hit the booster and go up and meet the Lord. So faith as a rocket is a very exciting thought. So every day I think about the Lord returning. Some point in time, it's going to be, here's the Lord. Well, yeah, there he is. I'm ready. I am ready. I think it's very possible that one of the things about being here when the Lord returns and being raptured, first of all, you need faith. Everything we receive from God comes through faith. And faith comes to those who are diligent to seek God. Yes, being raptured is part of your birthright as a Christian. So is not being sick. So is not being poverty-stricken. So is not walking in fear. So is walking in power. It's all part of your birthright. It's all been paid for. In fact, every single thing you need for life and godliness, if I haven't mentioned that in the last 5 minutes, has already been paid for. So when the day comes for the rapture, it has already been paid for. But every promise of God has conditions. And the promise for the rapture is you must have the faith to be alive. Your rocket ship needs to keep you alive and the faith to remain. Oh, I tell you, frequently, how frequently I have to talk to people, minister to people who are not building their houses on solid rocks. And when the storm came, there's nothing they can do but go to somebody for help. And I tell you, it's not a good time to be trying to build your house. You know you don't want to even paint your house when it's raining, much less trying to build it in a hurricane. My heart just goes out for these people. But that's not going to happen to anybody here, right? Because we're all building our ark. We all have a rocket ship called faith. And we can all move from A to B geographically, in terms of time, spatially, whatever it is, promise-wise, from glory to glory, we do it through a rocket ship called faith. Amen? So booster rockets are shorter burning rockets used in parallel with a longer burning sustainer rocket to augment the space vehicle's takeoff thrust. That's the primary thing, is the takeoff thrust. But it's not just takeoff, it's the entire process of going up until they attain the speed and so on and the direction. Okay? Now, firing the booster rocket. For a successful launch, most power must be applied at takeoff to overcome inertia and gravity. Where you want the greatest power is when that rocket has to get away from the inertia and break loose from gravity. Same thing with prayer. It's really easy to pray in mental ascent. In other words, the Bible says this, I agree with my mind, I'm going to say. But where you need the power is in that initial prayer. The prayer of faith coming out of your heart, where God answers it, and the answer is already created in the spiritual realm. And you can believe that. You need the faith to accomplish that, and the faith to believe it, and then the faith to live by it. So that initial launching of your faith rocket is when you need the greatest power. Now, the power twins are faith and patience. Patience, which a good description would be joyful endurance, or determined consistency. Now, each of us might stop at this point and say, well, do I have joyful endurance? Do I have determined consistency? Am I a patient person? Patience is not just sitting back and getting beat up. Patience is joyfully continue to do what you should be doing according to the scriptures. It's not being joyful when you're getting beat up. It's joyfully standing in the word, joyfully enduring and overcoming the challenges with consistency. Now, let us look at an example of this in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read like three stories, and you all know them very well, but I want to do them, okay? So Luke 5, verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. That should tell you that he was teaching on healing, that healing belongs to them. Because the scriptures tell you very clearly that the Holy Spirit is there to confirm the word. So if the Holy Spirit is there to confirm healing, he had to be speaking on healing. That simple. And how many people got healed? All of them? No. Only one person launched his rocket ship. And thank God he had friends who had faith, for they helped him to launch it. They're all there. The power of God is there to heal. And only one person launched his rocket ship. Luke 5, verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man who was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in. In other words, the house was full. It was hard for one person to get in, much less what? Four people with a litter. It was impossible. So a lot of people say, well, I give it my best shot. I tried my best. I think I'll go home and watch television. But not these people. They said, we can't get in through the window. We can't get in through the door. Let's go up on the roof and make our own door. Right? In other words, you want it bad enough, you'll find a way. Your faith is strong enough, you'll create a way. For Jesus is the way. So there's nothing for which there is no way, because Jesus is the way, and he's your Savior and your Lord. He's your invincible army. So there you see the endurance, the consistency. They were pressing through despite their challenges. Verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Now, that's patience. So, patience was continuing. In the process of continuing, they were displaying actions of faith. They never said a word. But their words, their works, their actions spoke louder than words. Verse 20. So they let him down through the roof, and when he saw their faith, wow, you think, but faith is something spiritual. How can you see it? You see through the action, right? When he saw their faith action plan, when he saw their faith action plan, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. They came for healing, which is very clear. That's why he saw their faith. He said, your sins are forgiven. That's not what they came for. Ah, but that was what they came for. They just didn't know it. They thought they came for physical healing. Well, you can't have physical healing unless your sins are forgiven. In fact, you can't have the sickness and disease if you didn't have any sins. Jesus had no sins and never got sick. But you and I, all our sins have been nailed to the cross. And we are awakening to the fact that we're the righteousness of God. We have no sins. So we shouldn't be sick. In fact, Romans 8 verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We don't need to sin. We don't need to be sick. We don't need to be diseased. We don't need to be in pain. We don't need to do anything but be alive and remain until Jesus returns. Because it has all been paid for. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, said unto them, what reason in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? Well, for them, neither one was that easy. For us, neither one is that easy. But we are blessed to have the Spirit of God living in us. And for the Spirit of God living in us, either one is easy. We've been told to forgive sins. We've been told to heal. We couldn't be told to heal if we weren't able to forgive sins. In fact, James 5, verses 14 and 15, that when they are anointed with oil, they are healed and their sins are forgiven. They go together. Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man, notice here, he's not saying the Son of God, he's saying Son of Man. He's a son of Adam. That makes him a son of man. He's born of woman. That makes him a son of man, just as you and I are. Just so that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive, he said unto the sick, I say unto you, arise and take up your couch and go to your house. And immediately, he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. That's what you should do. Glorify God and thank God. Tell people about it. And we should act immediately. When we're prayed for, we don't wait half an hour. Immediately you expect it. Immediately. Okay? Now, the power of your faith is proportional to what you say and what your actions are. In this case, the actions are pretty severe. I mean, to go up on a man's roof, make a hole in it and set somebody down through it, that's pretty dramatic. I mean, that shows you are serious. Right? Now, what shows that you're serious is the downside. See? If you say, well, I'm going to pray for my healing, and then you think, but if it doesn't work, I can go see the doctor. There's not a heck of a lot of a downside there. If you didn't pray, you go see the doctor anyway. Not us here, of course, but I'm just saying people in general. So when you say, well, I pray, but if I don't get my manifestation, I'm going to go to the doctor, there's no serious downside. God knows my heart. God knows that I have been standing on his word for healing ever since I got saved, within a couple of months, I think. And that my intention is to get my healing from God. Why? To me, it's very simple. It's so simple, I don't know why I have 5.5 years of teaching. It's very simple. I believe the word of God. If the word of God doesn't work, then God doesn't work. If God doesn't work, what am I following him for? I mean, I can make a mess of my life. I don't need somebody who doesn't work to make a mess of my life for me. So I'm standing on the word of God. My life has been given to God. I'm living for him as best as I can. My intention is to live for God 7x24, which means I have no life for myself. So if I'm standing on the word of God and my life or death depends on the word of God and it doesn't work and I die, that's a terrible way to phrase that. I cancel those words in Jesus' name. Okay? I cancel them. Let me pick somebody else. Who should I use as an example? You agree with me? Those words are canceled in Jesus' name. Okay? Okay? For I shall not die, but I shall live and remain until Jesus returns, as we all will be. Right? Okay? So if this person is standing on the word of God, some person, and the person is 7x24 living for God, and is standing and say, well, I've been healed by the word of God, and for some reason it doesn't work and the person dies, what is the person lost? The answer is nada. Nihil. Translation, nothing. Why is that? Because they were living 7x24 for God anyway. Their life was not their life was God's. So what have they lost? Nothing. If you have nothing to lose, how can you lose it? So that's my attitude. My attitude is, I'm living for God. My life is for God. I've been living for God as best as I can, except when I backslid. 7x24. No, I don't want to serve a God if his word doesn't work. His word says, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's it. End of story. So the number of times in the past, because they'll never happen again in the future, where I have been in the position where the devil said, call 911 or get help, a lot of times. Number of times the devil said, you're going to die. Actually, he has not said that lately, okay? Because now I have to get the right answer. Is, what do you mean I'm going to die? The Bible says I'm going to be alive and remain until Jesus returns. I never had that answer before. But that's the answer I'd give him now. But he hasn't told me that for a long time. So to me, it is that simple. So the power of your faith is proportional to the downside. The downside for me, well, there's no downside. I mean, God's word is true and God is real. God doesn't mess up. It's as simple as that. Now, if I know Holyfield, I love his answer. It's the greatest answer. You know, he was a boxer. I don't know. I think he was a champion. I don't know exactly where he was. He was a champion. And then he had a heart problem, so he was banned, couldn't box anymore. So he went to Benny Hinn meeting, and they prayed over him. His heart got healed. He went back to the doctor. He passed all the tests, and he restored in the boxing. So he's going back to boxing now, and now he has to fight Mike Tyson to get the world title, or to get it back. I forget which one. And Mike Tyson was unbeaten. He was like an animal. So he's going into the rings to fight him, and the odds were 100-1 against him. Now, if you ever go to the racetrack, and you see a horse come out at 100-1, you want to count to make sure he has four legs, okay? That's the way Holyfield was. You know, the boxing event was at Caesar's Palace. And as you come out, they play a theme song for you. And his theme song was, "My God is an awesome God." And he walks down Caesar's Palace with them playing, "My God is an awesome God." And he has on his robe. And on the back it says Philippians 4:13. Right? And he gets to the ring. So they ask him, "Aren't you afraid that this man is going to kill you? I mean, you had a bad heart. This guy's unbeatable. I mean, this guy's an animal. Aren't you afraid he's going to kill you?" He said, "He can't beat me because God is on my side." Sound like David and Goliath, doesn't he? Awesome, awesome. "But if he did and I die, what's the big deal? I gain heaven." See, that's the right attitude. That's the right attitude. And of course, he won the fight. And then he should have quit because he said he was going to quit after he won the title. He didn't. And they went back and forth him the second time. And he won again the second time, but this time Mike Tyson bit off part of his ear. Couldn't take the anointing. Amen? So the power of your faith is proportional to the downside. For Holyfield, the downside was, hey, everybody thought the guy could kill him. So remember, as you go through these faith promises, as you launch your rocket, that God is not just your healer, Exodus 15:26. He's also your protector. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. God is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army in the Amplified Bible. That's pretty awesome. God is your strength for when you're tired, for when you're facing an opponent that's larger than life. He's your personal bravery when the devil tries to bring fear, and he is your invincible army. That means the army that supports you cannot be defeated. The only way you can lose is when you say, "I give up." That's the only way. So as we go into these situations, don't let the devil con you about the terrible things that can happen, because God is your protector. God is pleased by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. God is pleased by your faith, by your leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence, in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. That's how we should be launching every prayer. That we are trusting God by leaning our entire being on him. Everything. And here's some examples of people who did that. The woman with the issue of blood risked her life in coming to Jesus in public. You all know her story in Mark 5, 26 to 34. She had spent all she had trying to get better and hadn't gotten better. And she heard that Jesus was a healer. Maybe she heard he was the Son of God. I don't know what she heard. But she came, and she was so determined to get her healing that the penalty for being out in public with an issue of blood was death. Was death. And not only is she out in public, she's pushing through the multitudes. And then to make matters worse, can you imagine this lady saying, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I don't care. I don't care what they say about stoning me to death. I'm going to go." And she goes, and there's a crowd, and she's still got the courage, and she pushes into the crowd, hoping nobody yells, "There's a woman who's been bleeding for years." And she's pushing through the crowd. And she kept saying, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed." And she's aiming to touch the hem of his garment. Since he's a rabbi, the hem of his garment had the word of God sewn in there. Okay? So she's pushing forward. And then what happened? Jesus said, "With Jairus, the ruler of the temple." I'm sure she must have paused and said, "My gosh, I mean, there's a limit to how far I can push my faith. No, I got to go approach him when he's standing next to the rabbi." And the rabbi is trying to get him, the rabbi, the leader of the synagogue, the rabbi is trying to get him to go heal his daughter. That's another thing. Oh, I'm going to interrupt him and slow him down when the rabbi is in a hurry. My gosh, and that one, they might just stone her with small stones. So it took a longer time. Can you see her faith? Her faith is getting more and more tested. And she pressed through it. Four levels, at least four levels of pressing through with her faith. Four levels of boost the rocket to get her there. And then she thought, I just touch it and sneak off. And she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? And I said, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. But only one person touched him with faith. Just like only one man got healed because only one man had the faith to come down through the roof. It's your faith that makes you whole. It's your faith that launches the rocket ship that takes you from a place of sickness to a place of health. It's our faith that's going to launch us from where we are to being the church without spot or wrinkle. You may say, church without spot or wrinkle, I sin all the time. True, so do I. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is in me. And He can do anything. He can do anything. He and I can do anything. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And God says, be holy, for I am holy. And so in my heart, I said, Lord, change my heart, change my words, change me so that I never sin again. And that is having my eyes set upon being part of the church without spot or wrinkle. So the power of your faith is proportional to the downside. She had everything to lose. And she gained what she desired most, her healing. Amen? Okay. The power of your faith is proportional to the commitment in your words. You've got to continue the same way, which is continuing the word and continue to maintain your high altitude. The need to keep applying this power by standing in faith. It's not a challenge. It's an opportunity to grow spiritually from level to level. In other words, this challenge came, you have overcome it. Are you in the process of overcoming it? And to do that, you need to keep the pressure on. You need to keep the high altitude. You need to keep walking in faith. And that's the opportunity. That's the means whereby you go from one level to another level, from glory to glory. That's how we grow. We're children of the Most High God. We're supposed to grow. We grow by overcoming challenges. And we overcome the challenges with our faith. For it is our faith that overcomes the world. But it only works if you speak it, do it, believe it, and don't cancel it. So because of that, because it's an opportunity to grow, it's an opportunity to be promoted. You know, if you keep flunking the same test in school, you keep repeating it. We have a whole bunch of teachers here. Isn't that true? You keep repeating it until they get fed up with you and they kick you out of the class and the school. But until then, you keep repeating it. So every time the devil hits you and you flunk the test, you're going to take it again. I am serious. The way you get the devil out of your life is pass the test. Move on to the next level. Yeah, there'll be another test, but it won't be the same one. Pass the test. So count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And that's why it's such a challenge when you overcome your challenges by going to doctors and medical people or anybody. You know, if you need money to buy gas for your car, who do you think grew more? The person who two people need gas for their car. Okay? One goes to their friends and beg, borrow, steal, cajole, connive, manipulate, get the money for their gas. They got their gas. The other person is like Pastor Karen and others like her, who says, well, I'm going to drive my car with no gas until the money comes. And drove 10 days with no gas. Who do you think grew more in faith? Because you grow by overcoming challenges. If every time there's a challenge, you look for man to solve it, then you're not going to grow. God can do anything. He'll solve your problem as long as you don't have a plan B. Plan B are detrimental to having God solve your problem. We do, because of the mercy of God, because of the grace of God, because other people are praying, we do get prayers answered even when we have a plan B. But we don't grow a lot when we have a plan B. So count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, For the trying of your faith produces patience. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How do we get to the point where we lack nothing? Through patience, joyful endurance, to support our faith. Isn't that a wonderful place to be, where we want nothing? Is that an option? We need to get there. But you understand that this point of getting to a place where you lack nothing is not meant to be optional. You know that the government, in their wisdom, has decided that so many kids were coming down with measles that they're no longer allowing people to have the options of whether or not the children are inoculated, except for some rare exceptions for medical reasons. But specifically, for reasons of conscience, they can't do it. Now, what gives them the right to say what you can do with yourself and your kids? Because this is the beginning of ending times. See? They think they have the right to do that. Why? Because of fear. Because they think if you don't get inoculated, you're going to make everybody sick and everybody's scared. They're all full of fear. I understand that if it were not for science and medicine, probably most Christians would be dead. I understand that. On the other hand, if they were dead, they'd be in heaven, which is better than where they are today. Now, seeing that even the Christians need doctors and medicines, I think it's a wonderful thing that medicine should be available to every single person in this country. So at that level, I agree with the goals of Obamacare, that every person in this country should have medical insurance, medical assistance. Why? Because they are living on a mammon. And on the mammon, science is the mother and the father and the God. And science provides what they need. And since the church as a whole also is using it, hey, why shouldn't they all have it? On the other hand, I don't believe anybody should be forced to do something they don't want to do. Okay? And I don't think we should be forced to buy a product. If the government wanted to run their own medical system with doctors working for them, hey, I'd be all for that. But to tell us you have to go buy insurance from a company? No, I think that's totally wrong. But those are not my biggest concerns with Obamacare. Here's my biggest concern. Well, here's one of my biggest concerns. As long as people have access to medicine, they will not turn to God as their healer until the doctor says, there's nothing more I can do for you. Usually by that time, it's too late. That's why so many people overseas, in Africa and different places, they get a lot of miracles because they don't have any doctors to go to. But in this country, they have doctors to go to, so there's always a plan B. That's the major reason why they don't get miracles. But here is my other big challenge with Obamacare. It's similar to the story I just told you about the inoculation. The government has decided every child needs to be inoculated. Pretty soon, it will be every adult. Not necessarily for measles, but for something. Right? I mean, they're already doing it. I mean, if you travel to certain countries, you need inoculation. I went to Ghana. But we had to have a whole bunch of shots. Otherwise, we couldn't get our visas. No, I could have sneaked out of the country and sneaked into Ghana. But, you know, to me, it's no big deal. Whether or not they inoculate me is no big deal. It's like I have medical insurance, interesting enough. I have, what do you call it? Medicare. Why do I have Medicare? Because they couldn't find any way to cancel it. When I went to get my Social Security, because I passed 65, I said, I want my Social Security because it belongs to me, but I don't want Medicare. At first, they couldn't believe it. They thought I was joking. Then they started looking. And they looked and looked and looked. And finally, one lady came back and says, man, I've been here 35 years. Nobody's ever asked for this. And we can find no way of canceling it. She said, can't you just have it and ignore it? I said, okay, that's what I'll do. I have it and I ignore it. So to me, the same thing with inoculation so far. But what happens when it goes beyond inoculation to something that's more serious? Like, we can save a lot of money, and it's a lot more secure if we take all your medical history and put it on a chip in your body. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I'm saying it's a logical extension of where they think and where they're heading. So you get your entire medical history, nobody can steal it, and we stick your credit card information there also, And in one little spot on your body, you can hardly notice it, will be your entire medical history, all your pharmacy stuff, your allergies, your credit cards, all in one little spot on your body, and nobody can steal it. Unless they cut your arms off, which they will, not yours, but some people will. Okay? And if you don't do it, you can't have medical insurance. Now, that's the challenge. So, this is why we need faith. To move the goal from a point to another point where they say, you can't have the medical insurance, you say, I've been trying to get rid of it for all these years and they won't take it away. That's why I'm saying it's not really optional. God wants us to be self-sufficient in Christ Jesus. There is no other way around it. He died so you and I have everything we need and we're dependent on only one being, and that is God. Now, while your rocket is up there, if the rocket is pulled back by gravity to the earth, the mission is lost. The devil knows that. So he heaps challenges of life on you to try to pull your faith rocket back down. If he can surround you with enough challenges in life, then you bring your faith rocket back down. In other words, he wants to sabotage your faith and get you to move down from living in that high altitude of flying in that high altitude of Christ Jesus. That's what he wants to do. Pull your rocket back down. But 1 John 4:4 says that you are an overcomer. You're an overcomer in everything. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You and God can overcome every challenge. And you and God can meet every need. And that's what we need to do for the challenges coming up in this earth. And we've done a lot of it already. Think of all the terrible things that are happening in this country. My word. I heard recently that every year, 1,000 new churches have started in this country. 1,000 new churches have started in this country. But every year, 4,000 churches close. Right? There was a stretch back there where like, what, 18 months? I think it was 18 months. Every week, there was a shooting in the school. You know, it's really amazing what's happening to the world. It's happening all around us. But it's not happening to us. You know how many people lost money in the last Great Recession? You know how many people are going to lose money in this coming crash? Not happening to us. Because we are in that rocket of faith moving from point A to point B. It's not by chance why these challenges are coming around us. They're all over. So many people I know have challenges. So many people are dying. So every challenge that comes towards you, every challenge that comes towards you is meant to take you out of living the God life. It's meant to take you out of the Zoe life and pull you down where you're walking by your five senses. Every challenge is meant to get you walking by your five senses because your five senses are providing input from the carnal world, and that's where Satan is strongest. That's where he's God, God of the carnal world. Mark 4 says, when the word of God is thrown in your heart, Satan comes immediately to steal the word of God out of your heart. It's exactly the same thing I'm saying here. Every challenge is meant to pull you down from the Zoe life. And he can pull you down from the Zoe life if he gets the word of God out of your heart. And to get the word of God out of your heart, he has to get you focusing and making decisions by leading to your own understanding. What does that mean? By leading to your five senses. When you lean to your five senses, then you can't walk in faith. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will steer the rocket. Every challenge is a choice between faith. Faith is loving God and keeping his commandments, which start by believing his word. So every challenge is a choice between faith or fear. The fear which is trying to pull you down, so you walk by sight and not by faith. Understand it. That's the name of the game. Satan wants you to walk by sight. God wants you to walk by faith. You're in the middle. You choose which one you're going to do. You must maintain the high altitude by viewing every challenge as an opportunity. Here's the booster shot. View every challenge as an opportunity. If you can view every challenge as an opportunity, then you can stay up in the high altitude. One way to do that is every challenge is a potential testimony. Let me tell you, decades ago when challenges came, I learned to say what a powerful testimony this is going to be. Never dreamt that one day I'd have healing school and could use those testimonies in a healing school. But that's what we're all doing. We're all creating our bio of testimonies, our biography of testimonies, right? And we all have wonderful testimonies. And every challenge that comes, you say, what a wonderful testimony this is going to be. And the bigger the challenge is, the greater the testimony. The deeper the valley is, the higher the mountain. That's a booster to you. Here is the devil helping you to come up with a powerful testimony. Amen? Amen. Every lie of the devil is an opportunity to live the truth of God's word. The devil is hitting you with lies, bombarding you with lies, and you say, well, let me just see what my daddy does about this. Let's see how God's word overwhelms these lies. Every battle is an opportunity to learn, to overcome, and to grow. That's how we should view these challenges. If we can do that, we can stay up high and not come back down, not let our faith come back down. Finally, mission success. Mission success is highly dependent on your attitudes, your attitudes. Every successful mission is founded on non-tangible, critical success factors. The most successful technological mission started with a dream, then a goal, then hard work, and a desire for excellence. One of the greatest disasters we had in the aerospace industry in the modern space age was the blowing up of the Challenger, I believe it was, spacecraft off Florida. Why? A lack of excellence in one of the O-rings. One momentary lack of excellency in creating an O-ring caused a vapor leak, and the rocket exploded and all the people were killed. Critical success factors. Your mission of having a successful prayer life and living in a world of signs and wonders begins with knowing who you are and what are your rights. Who are you and what are your rights? How do you think of yourself? Ask yourself, how do I think of myself? You must have the attitude that you are undefeatable. I made up the word undefeatable and spell check didn't catch it, so I checked it, and it's actually a word. I didn't know the word. You have the attitude that you're undefeatable. That's a good word. Wish I had known it years ago. You're undefeatable. What a booster shot to know that you're an adult in the family of God. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led, that is making the decisions by the Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the adult sons and daughters of God. What a booster shot to know that you're an ambassador of heaven. Imagine that. 2 Corinthians 5:20. You're an ambassador of heaven. You're immune to all the challenges of this world. You're immune to it. You represent God. And all the things in this life can't impact you because you're an ambassador of heaven. But as an ambassador of heaven, your life is built around heaven. And your life is built around spreading the gospel. Not around having fun. Romans 8:17. I mean, you can have fun spreading the gospel, but focusing on fun won't spread the gospel. You got to focus on spreading the gospel and have fun along the way. What a booster shot to know that you're joined here with Jesus. Everything that God has belongs to Jesus, and you jointly own it with him. Romans 8:17. Have the attitude that God will give you what you ask for or something better. Whatever you ask for, God will give it to you or something better. Mentally agreeing with the Bible, while focusing on the lying, contradictory circumstances of life, I agree with the Bible that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, but when I look at these mountains, I can't move them. Well, that's a contradiction. Mentally agreeing with the Bible while focusing on the lying, contradictory circumstances of life will lead to a wishing and a hoping. A wishing and a hoping don't buy you nothing. I know that's not good English, but it comes across succinctly. Wishing and hoping. You don't want to get into that wishing and hoping. There's no rocket called wishing and hoping. The rocket is called faith. Faith moved you from A to B, not wishing and hoping. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to So then we're called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. That doesn't apply to every Christian. It applies to Christians that love God, who are called according to his purpose, and who are responding to it, and are putting God in charge of their life every day. People use a scripture and say, see, it doesn't make any difference what happened. Oh, yeah. So, you know, car ran over two of my kids and killed them, but everything works together for the good. That is just a perversion of the gospel. The devil is the one who does terrible things, not God. And the devil is not doing it, so it works out for good. God says, when you love me, when you're living according to the purpose that I called for, when you are living your life around me, then everything will work out for good, because I give you what you ask of something better. And we can say that because Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us is love. And that love fuels a rocket called faith. And faith will take you to whatever you're prayed for or something better. Now, standing in faith is called spiritual warfare. I think by now everybody at ABC knows that. Standing in faith is spiritual warfare. It's not sitting back, que sera, sera. It's spiritual warfare. Standing in patience is called perseverance. You persevere until you win. You can only lose if you give up. Winners never quit. If you persevere, you'll be a winner. If you're a winner, it means you never quit because you persevered. Have the attitude that God rewards those who are diligent towards him. Hebrews 11:6. See, this is an attitude I think the church needs to have more and more. The attitude that God rewards those who are diligent towards him. You see why so many people don't get their prayers answered? Because they think they can live a que sera, sera life and God is in charge of everything and they don't have to do anything. They just sit around having fun. What's the song? Girls want to have fun. I guess boys want to have fun too. They sit around having fun because grace is going to take care of everything. But God rewards those who are diligent to seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Romans 4:17. Have the attitude that everything is subject to change. No matter how big the mountains are, they are subject to change because you and God can do everything. And you can call things that be not until they change into what you want them to be. Everything is subject to change. You don't know how many times that got me out of impossible situations where all I could say is, everything is subject to change. Especially in my first, say, 10 or 15 years as a believer. Everything is subject to change. I didn't know enough then to know how to change it. I just knew it's subject to change. And I was going to keep saying that until it changed. Finally, have the attitude of ardent zeal and intense exertion. I wonder how many believers truly have an attitude of ardent zeal and intense exertion. In your heart of hearts, ask yourself that. Do you have an attitude of ardent zeal and intense exertion towards God? You know, most people, when they get some money, or they get some years and retire, or they achieve some things, they kind of kick back and take it easy. Unlike Schambach. They asked Schambach if he's going to retire. He said, yeah, I'm going to retire. I'm going to put 4 new tires on the vehicle and get going again. Okay? No, that's the attitude. What is this retirement? You're an ambassador of heaven. You're going to retire when heaven retires. How can you retire? You're an ambassador of heaven. Have the attitude of ardent zeal and intense exertion. The opposite of that is laziness. The extreme opposite is laziness. I think Christians need inoculation for laziness. Matthew 11:12 from the Amplified. And from the days of John the Baptist unto the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force. Imagine that. Kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force, as a precious prize. Meaning, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Matthew 11:12 from the Amplified. Ardent zeal and intense exertion. If you put in the ardent zeal and intense exertion, it will move your rocket from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. For you and God are a majority. If God be for you, who can stand against you? Amen?